So, as Tapas mentioned earlier on, this Gurpurnim celebration is the most important celebration, but yet it's not really known. So that's mysterious. Right? How can the appearance day of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu be central and yet it's not so much known? Generally speaking, Vaishnavas are worshipping some manifestation of Lord Vishnu, as they see it, Lord Ramachandra, or Krishna. And they see all these various avatars or incarnations of the Lord as various manifestations of Vishnu. But the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are establishing on the basis of authorized scripture that Krishna, rather, is the origin of all other incarnations, particularly the Brahma Samhita. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to South India, one day he came across the Adi Keshav Mandir. And in the Adi Keshav Mandir, there was a group of Brahmanas. They had a discussion on some scripture which turned out to be a chapter of the Brahma Samhita. At that time, although the Brahma Samhita was known, it was one of those Vedic literatures which had become lost in due course of time. Over the years, Reiki or something like that. Anyway, over the years, some scriptures. Over the years, some scriptures were no longer available. So when Mahaprabhu came across this chapter of the Brahma Samhita, which otherwise was not available, he was very excited. And he took a copy of that manuscript. And that, of course, clearly establishes that Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes. It also establishes him as the source of all incarnations, which is exactly the same conclusion as Srimad Bhagavatam. And it is spoken by Lord Brahma, who is the original authority in the universe, being the Pitamaha, the grandfather in the universe. So it's a very strong and powerful authority speaking there. You know, he's the origin of all Brahmanas. And the Brahmanas are those who are following the Vedas as they are revealed from the mouth of Brahma. Therefore, Lord Brahma is the original Brahmana, because Krishna revealed the Vedas to Lord Brahma from within the heart. And then that same Vedic literature manifested within the universe through the mouth of Lord Brahma. So he's the origin of the Vedas entering into the material world. So in this way, the authority of Lord Brahma is not just anything. You know, it's like, okay, Brahma, nice, no, no. I mean, it's like highly authoritative. So in this way, it's interesting that the Brahma Samhita became such an authoritative scripture in the sampradaya of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who happened to come in the Brahma Madhava Gaudiya Vaishnava sampradaya. Anyway, so therefore the Gaudiya Vaishnavas are very clearly accepting Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as the origin of everything, who has no other cause than himself. No one can say that he has no other cause than himself. We can say, who's your father, and then trace it all back to a whole family lineage, a country, so many different origins, but Krishna has no other origin than himself. So, it is stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Krishna was thinking to himself, I have given them everything. I have given them the Bhagavad Gita. And the conclusion of the Gita is very clear. Sarvadharma parijaya mamaikam saranam braja ahantam sarvapapiryo mokshaya shami vasucha. Just surrender unto me. But they did not do so. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to appear in this world as a devotee, to teach. Just like a teacher who has a backward student is showing it by example. You know, explained it so many times, still not getting it, then showing an example. Oh, achha, I see. Like this, then it dawns, the example. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this way was showing by example. So that is the Krishna that he is. The same Krishna who this time came to teach by example. Who played the part of a devotee. But what kind of devotee? No one has ever seen such a devotee. A devotee that could dance like he could, that would jump so high, a devotee that cried so many tears, that streams, literally, streams of water were running on the ground. And where did all that water come from? How much water do we have within our bodies? And yet, you know, the amount of water coming from the eyes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by far exceeds the amount of water that human beings have it in their bodies. How was it physically possible? Contradicting the laws of physics. Everyone could see it was a miracle. Everyone could see it was amazing. I like that description of Snanyatra, which is given to us in the Chaitanya Chandravainata. And there it is described that just before Ratiyatra, there is the period when Lord Jagannath is being offered a bathing ceremony just next to Narendra Sarovar, which is close to the Simha Dwara of the Jagannath Temple in Puri. And there is a snan bathing, there is a platform for bathing, and Lord Jagannath is there, and then the bathing ceremony is there. And of course, it's a big bathing ceremony, you know, big, enormous deity, so many brahmanas, and so much, so many substances up there, and so much water is bouncing off the body of Lord Jagannath. But what was most amazing, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was dancing in front of that deity of Lord Jagannath, that more water was coming from the body of Mahaprabhu than from the body of Jagannath. Just because of his tears. So, therefore we understand here is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu acting as a devotee, but his love of God is going beyond the human limitations. There is no question of arguing he was some saint and some say he was God. That they always say, when there's a saint, someone will say he's God. That is, you know, so many that we understand. Some say it. But where are all the tears coming from? So many tears. Where was the ecstasy coming from? Where was such love of God coming from? Miracles. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed miracles. Yes. We have so many yogis. They all perform miracles. India is the land of miracles. A miracle in India is not a miracle. That's sort of a common thing. In India, so many miracles. So many yogis can do so many things. No, I mean, you know, in India, we have yogis that can go under the ground for 2 weeks and they come out alive. There's things like this. Miracle. Miracles are commonplace in India. which is a land of the supernatural. Everything has a supernatural dimension. In Sweden, I don't know what the local river is called in Stockholm. Is there one?
No. That's a lake.
Yeah, you don't have a river.
No.
Don't you? Anyway, you have a lake.
It's sweet water, it's in salt water.
I see.
That's very special for Stockholm.
Okay. It's a mix. Sweet and salt mix. Not bad. It's a song. What makes it a sangam? A sangam. We have sangams. Sangams? Sangam heto. We have sangams in various places in the world, and sangams are indeed auspicious. So, let me grant Stockholm that. Sweet and salt sangam. Just like in Cape Town, we have the sangam of the Indian Ocean and the Atlantic Ocean. One is blue and the other is green, and you see how the waters are mixing. And there's like a lot of turmoil when these two are mixing because the temperatures are different. And then the whales are swimming around there. And it's like a very powerful area. Like that, sangams, they have shakti. We see that mystic elements are manifesting, and especially in India, that mystic dimension is everywhere. We have a Ganga, it's like spiritual river, but not just a river, but completely spiritual. Not just lakes, you know, sweet and salty, but lakes that are like completely transcendental. You know, you just Radhakund, Shyamakund, Kusum Sarovar, so many holy lakes all over India, Bindu Sarovar, you know, wherever you go, so many places that are spiritually surcharged. I mean, where do you have a Kumbh Mela? You know, that some drops of nectar are falling from the sky and then just enter into the river, and suddenly the whole thing transforms. You know, it's no longer just river water. No. This is nectar, and it can give liberation. And like millions of people, they know all about it, and they are ready. Just at that constellation, you have to go. So all together, you know, all together in the water. And a few drown on the way, but that's okay. They got liberation. That is only increasing the ecstasy. So it has that special dimension, that kind of very transcendental atmosphere. So what's Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? A saint, and has the natural spiritual dimension of India colored him a little bit and now declared him God. Is that the reason why he's not so famous? See, Krishna, that's obvious, you know. I mean, he's God, everyone. He's, first of all, blackish blue color, you know, lifting gold on the hill, that's clear. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how do we know? How do we really know? How can they be sure? If we simply look at his symptoms of love of God, nothing was seen like that. Just see. First, after he takes sannyas, it really became openly shown to the world. Before that, it was a private affair. But then it became public, and he showed it to everyone, and he just swept up people in just incredible ecstasy. When he was taking sannyas, everyone was looking such a handsome young man. And now they're going to shave his head. Oh no. All the ladies were thinking, oh no. I mean, this is too much. This should be forbidden. This has to be stopped. Actually, everybody thought it. The man as well thought it cannot be. Like, how can such a young man take sannyas? This is too much. I mean, he is like the ultimate. He has all the glories that exist in this world. Look at his body, look at his broad chest, look at his Brahmin thread, look at his culture, look, he has all the attributes that one could desire. He has beauty, he has learning, he is int- intelligent, he has physical strength, he has everything that one could desire in the world. He is the embodiment of piety, and therefore he should enjoy. Now he's taking sannyas. Everyone was miserable, and the barber who was called to shave his head said, "No, no, I cannot do it. No, I cannot do it. No." He cried tears, but somehow or other they forced him, and then didn't know how it happened, but his hand did it. He didn't want to shave the head of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but his hand did it. And then he shaved the hair of his head, and everyone was shocked. And after that, that hair was kept and placed in a samadhi. And the barber, after that, gave up his profession. He never again shaved the head. He became a sweet maker instead, trying to make up for the depression. It said, and you know, that hair of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was placed in samadhi, and later, after the barber left his body in a natural way, his samadhi was also placed there next to that hair. You can see that in Gatava.
So,
he took sannyas. And after taking sannyas, the mood was kind of serious, depressed, because no one wanted to see him take sannyas. But then he suddenly jumped up and started to lead his kirtan in such incredible ecstasy. People just became lifted up, and everyone went beyond himself like it had never happened. He created like a tidal wave of ecstasy. And that continued wherever he went. He went from one place to the next, and wherever he went, he just electrified the whole situation, and people just were swept up, I mean, beyond what, like, anyone ever caused. No one had ever caused such ecstasy, because his deep love for Krishna. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, very nice. Great saint. Yes. Great saint, great love for Krishna, and people dancing, and very nice. Yes, 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 yes. But that doesn't make him God, actually. I mean, really. Yes. Yes, miracles he did perform. He went to the forest of Jarikanda, and he was accompanied by this brahmana, who was his servant. And this brahmana, he saw with his own eyes how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with his lotus feet, touched the head of a tiger who was lying on the road. And lo and behold, as they say, that tiger jumped up and started to chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Now, that is indeed something, because usually tigers don't chant Hare Krishna. To get a tiger to chant is certainly not an ordinary thing. And, I mean, absolutely, that was extraordinary. Then the elephants started to chant, and then tigers and deers were embracing, and at the end, the tigers and the deers started kissing. Well, that's not usually what they do. Not a common exchange between tigers and deers. So it was a very playful miracle that was taking place, and certainly in the extraordinary. So there we can add something on the evidence side. Extraordinary miracles, not just, you know, manifesting a pomegranate from Kabul or something like that, no? But actually a serious miracle, big time miracle. So that puts him above lots of yogis, you know, who produce a little this or a little that, right? You know, I mean, some yogi who kind of pulls a Seiko watch out of his long sleeves. Ah, Seiko. It's okay. So, things like that. I saw one famous Baba who at the time was recognized as God. I saw a clip of the Baba in some program, and it was very hot in India, so they brought him a towel, a
and he takes the towel and he wipes his face, and then next moment he goes, oh. And then this golden egg, this lingam, gold, comes from his mouth. Oh, Babri Babri. Theoretically, I think I can also do that. The only problem is I don't have the money to buy the golden lingam. But if somebody supplies that to me, then the rest of the trick with the towel, I think I can manage. So that was not so convincing, I'm sorry to say. You know, I mean, I've seen better tricks, rabbits coming from hats or men cutting ladies in half. More convincing magic, to be honest. Yes, I'm a little skeptic maybe, but I'm not so easily convinced by such a miracle. I mean, I was more convinced by the man who cut the lady in half, you know, in the box, cutting, and the saw went right through the box. I mean, that was impressive. Yeah. And the lady came out in one piece. I don't know how. We can try that for the next festival. So things like that are in the realm of magic. But what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did went beyond magic. So his miracles of like Jarikanda, where he made the animals dance and chant, stand. The miracle of his love of God is the greatest miracle. And I will describe that miracle a little more later on. There is more evidence for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. And that evidence is Shastra. So it said of all types of evidence, Shastra is the first and foremost evidence.
We can quickly look at it because I have a whole book here, and in chapter 2, text 22, it's very easy,
222,
there is a list given of verses. And it said, from the Riksamhita, so that's a strong evidence, Riksamhita, Tat Vishnu Paramam Padam Sada Pasyanti Surya Diva Shakshuratmatam, the personality of Godhead, Vishnu is the absolute truth, whose lotus feet all the demigods are always eager to see, like the sun god. He pervades everything by the rays of his energy. He appears impersonal to... that was 24 that I'm thinking. I'm reading the wrong words. Yes, I am. So here we go now. From the Chaitanya Upanishad, Gaura Sarvatma Mahapuruso, Amatma Mahayogi Triguna Titasa Sattvarupo Bhaktim Loke Kasyati. Lord Gaura, who is the all-pervading Supersoul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appears as a great saint and powerful mystic who is above the three modes of nature and is the emblem of transcendental activity. He disseminates the cult of devotion throughout the world. So that's Upanishads. Svetasvatara Upanishad. Tam Isvaranam Paramam Maheshwaram Tam Devatanam Paramam Chadevatam Patim Patitanam Paramam Parastat Vidima Devam Bhuvaneswam Arjan. O Supreme Lord, you are the Supreme Maheshwar, the worshipful deity of all the demigods, and the Supreme Lord of all lords. You're the controller of all controllers, the personality of Godhead, the Lord of everything worshipable. And then it carries on in the next verse. Mahan Prabhur Vaipurusa Sattva yasya pravartakaha sunirmalam imam praptim ishana jyoti avya. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Mahaprabhu, who disseminates transcendental enlightenment. Just to be in touch with him is to be in touch with the indestructible Brahma Jyoti. From the Mundaka Upanishad, yada pasyapasyate rukma varman kartaram isam purusam brahma yonim. One who sees that golden-colored personality of Godhead, Rukma Varnam, the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Actor, who is the source of the Supreme Brahman, is liberated. So now he's speaking about a Lord in the Rukma Varnam. Now, that is something, right? Not blackish, not this, not that, but golden-colored. So which Lord is golden-colored? So that looks clearly indicating him. Then we get Srimad Bhagavatam, two verses establishing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu clearly as the Supreme Lord.
Then we get from the Tantra, Krishna Yamala Tantra describes in Punya Kshetra Navadvip Vibhavi Shami Sachi Sutta. I shall appear in the holy land of Navadvip as the son of Sachi Sutta. In the Vaya Purana, Kalo Sankirtana Rambe Bhavi Shami Sachi Sutta. In the age of Kali, when the Sankirtan movement is inaugurated, I shall descend as the son of Sachidevi. From the Brahma Yamala Tantra, I'll skip the Sanskrit now because it takes too much time. Sometimes I personally appear on the surface of the world in the garb of a devotee. Specifically, I appear as the son of Sachi in Kali Yuga to start the Sankirtan movement. From the Ananta Samhita, the Supreme Person, Sri Krishna himself, who is the life of Sri Radharani and is the Lord of the universe, in creation, maintenance, and annihilation, appears as Gaura, O Maheshwari. So, like, these are some verses that are given here as evidence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are more, but okay, this is a list given here. So, that is something that is scriptural evidence. That is the primary evidence. That's the first evidence. Then, as I said, miracles were there. They can be perceived through the senses. So there is confirmation also in his activity. Then we also see that at the time of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, a certain astrological constellation was there. And that astrological constellation also points at an extraordinary personality. So whenever Krishna appears, it's not just that he appears, the luminaries in the sky also take on a special position. And then from there we can also understand that the Supreme Lord has appeared. So that astrological evidence is also available about the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in this way, evidence is there. There is no doubt about it. But such evidence may sound convincing, but people will still argue. They will still argue, even after all that. Right? They still argue. And so they say, yeah, that's okay, that's nice, but. Still they say but. But if you go then, all right, but. But we'll go to the Anchalila of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We will go to the final pastimes. Right, so just turn it on. That could cost me my glass. Anyway, so if we go to the Antya-lila. In the Antya-lila it is described that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at the end of his life stayed in Jagannath Puri. And there, in Jagannath Puri, for the first 6 years, all the devotees from Bengal would come every year and they had ecstatic ratiyatras. And during these ratiyatras, he showed such ecstasy in dancing and so on. Nothing, no one could compare to anything like that. But that was the first 6 years. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went deeper and deeper into his Krishna consciousness to a point where Krishna really became just overwhelmingly everything for him. His Krishna consciousness was not just a piety, a great pious devotee who went every day of his life to the mandir, to the temple, a great pious devotee who always prayed, a great pious devotee who every day would do religious activity. No, that was not Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was one who was absorbed in love for God. His eagerness was not just religious, his eagerness was just amazing.
No one had ever shown such eagerness. It had not been seen in the world, ever. Not in the history of mankind, nowhere recorded, nowhere ever had such a level of intensity of love of God existed as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu displayed. And then the ecstatic symptoms he displayed. It is said that when he saw a hill, he thought it was Govardhan. And with great eagerness, he was running there. When he saw the ocean, he thought it was the Yamuna, and he just jumped into the ocean, and he floated there in that ocean. And due to being in the salty water, he was taken away by the tide out to open sea. And in his ecstasy, it is said that the limbs of his body became loose, and his body became elongated, and he was already tall, 2 meters 10, 7 feet was his normal length. And now he must have been over 3 meters long. And he was caught by a fisherman in a net. And he turned all white. And then the fisherman caught this thing in the net and thought he had caught the fish of his life. Pulled it in to the shore. And then the fisherman saw that in this net there was this terrible ghost. A very long white creature that was making a horrible sound. Gong, gong, gong. And then, oh God. And then the fisherman's heart just almost stopped, and then it touched his body. And then that ghost tried to possess him. And he went mad, the fisherman. He went mad, and he was just jumping up and down and on the beach and calling, and just calling, Krishna, 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 Krishna. Krishna, and going insane. Meanwhile, the devotees of Lord Chaitanya were everywhere looking where the Lord had gone into the ocean, and they were looking, is there anywhere a sign of him? Finally, they came. They had sent out different search party in Sarvamon, but Acharya came across that fisherman. And the fisherman was telling us, the ghost, that's the ghost, Krishna, Krishna, that's the ghost, Krishna, ghost. It's like he was like panicking and totally in anxiety. Then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, I am a famous exorcist. I can cure you. And he took the fisherman and slapped him in the face a few times. And then, and that calmed him down. It calmed him down. He was still, so he could talk, but in between he was just saying, Krishna, Krishna. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, actually, it was not a ghost, not a ghost, Krishna, Krishna. No, Krishna, how it was not a ghost? Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. It was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna, Krishna. No, it's not Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna, Krishna. I saw him many times. No, no, no. The Lord, sometimes, when he goes in a state of ecstasy, his body becomes elongated, the limbs become loose from one another, the bones are lying loose in the skin, and his whole body stretches. Have you ever seen anything like it? Has it been recorded anywhere that anyone ever showed that much love for Krishna? I mean, you know, sometimes a tear, a tissue, maybe, you know, Krishna, all right, you know. I mean, Ujjamastami, you know, but let's not go too far, you know. And like limbs getting loose, isn't that taking it too far? Is that like desirable? Is that even wanted? No, that's too much. It was too much. Everyone saw that it was too much. It was inconceivable. How was this possible? It had never been seen. It was no longer human, because no human being had ever shown that depth of love of God that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu now displayed. The only one who had ever shown, who had ever experienced that level of love of God was Srimati Radharani herself. But it had, even that had never been publicly shown. It had never been publicly shown to the extent that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed it. Other times there is a description that one day Mahaprabhu was again lost. And everyone's looking and looking, where did he go? And in the end, they found that there was this huge human ball. What happened was this time he hadn't become elongated. This time all the limbs of his body had gone inside the trunk. Believe it or not.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. If you're a non-believer and a skeptic, what can we do? And we'll offer you later on a plate of prasada. It ends there. But we should know. This has been recorded by witnesses, by reliable witnesses. And so it's history. It's recorded history, not in one biography, but by many. Many have witnessed. And what happened was, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, somehow in the night, in his ecstasy of love of God, had gone out looking for Krishna. And when he saw the cows, he was naturally attracted to the cows, thinking of Vrindavan, and he naturally went in the midst of the cows. And while he was there, he was just internally in Vrindavan, and as a result, all the limbs of his body went inside, and he became like a big ball. And the cows, they became ecstatic. And the cows, they were so happy with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in their midst, they wouldn't allow anybody to come close. We're not giving him back. We're keeping him. So, if one thoroughly studies Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Charitamrita is of all the biographies about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the one that goes most deep into the entire miracle of his appearance. And if we look at the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is therefore the topmost. It is in there, everything else, all the conclusions of all the other descriptions about Mahaprabhu's life are included. It is the final word. And there, the Chaitanya Charitamrita is describing the amazing quality of love of God that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu displayed. That's the whole purpose of the entire book. It's just describing that. The love of God of Mahaprabhu. And yes, it will remain hidden from the atheist. It will remain hidden from the skeptic. It will remain hidden from the pasanti, from the offender. It will never be known to them. And no matter how many arguments are given, they will never accept Naham Prakasa Sarvasa Yoga Maya Samavitaha. Because the identity of Krishna will not be known. Will not be known. By one who is not a devotee. But those who are devotees of the Lord, who worship Mahaprabhu, they can see the convincing evidence systematically presented as it is by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And they can see how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord without a doubt. And that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is displaying himself, the topmost symptoms of love of God, and remember why. To teach those who were born in the age of Kali. You know, in the Satya Yuga, the most qualified living beings take a human birth. And therefore in the Satya Yuga, so many are going back to Godhead. In the Treta Yuga, the human beings are a little less qualified. So there's a lower standard now for human birth. In the Dwapara Yuga, the standard for human birth is still lower. In the age of Kali, even the lowest creatures get a human birth. In other yugas, with our consciousness, we would have been animals. Tail and snout. And everything, right? That would have been it. At best, we would have gotten a tail and a snout. Right? If not fangs. You know. That would have been it, you know. But in this age of Kali, we are given the human form of life. Why is it so? Because the age of Kali, it's like an educational institution. You have famous universities in the world, you know, like
Harvard or in the, you know, other famous universities in the world. And then you have some colleges that are less famous, but you can also get a degree there. And then you have, you know, sort of education for people who are not so smart, but, like, you know, they also get something, they learn a trade. And then finally, you have the leftovers, you know, and the leftovers who fail in every system of education, and for them you have some special education to sort of, like, train them also in some way or other. That's Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga is for the leftovers. For the ones who failed in all the other yugas, for the ones who just didn't make it, the hopeless cases, all right, give them Kali Yuga, and you know what? Give them human birth. And here we are. All of us in the age of Kali. And sort of a little difficult to learn, huh? Learning? I never learned. No. Like they say, for example, the one thing we learn from history is that people never learn. Have you heard that one before? It's famous, right? Sort of, it's anonymous, but it's a good, it makes sense. Yeah. So that's a fact, we don't learn. We don't learn. Like, we haven't learned anything. We just don't learn in this age. So therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, the Supreme Lord, Krishna, the self-same Krishna came to teach by example. And by his example, he shows the highest symptoms of love of God. And in showing these highest symptoms of love of God, he is teaching us how far it should go. Otherwise, we think, well, you know, this chanting of Hare Krishna is the process for the age. And we come one time to Govinda's and we chant, and we say, well, I've tried it, it didn't work for me. I tried it, but it didn't work. No, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu shows how to try. Not just, I tried, it didn't work. No, he shows how to give everything. And that is what it's all about. And that makes it magic, and that brings it to the other realm of miracle. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took advantage of the situation and at the same time also himself tasted the same ecstasy. Since he was Krishna, he tasted the same ecstasy Radharani as his topmost devotee was tasting by performing those pastimes, the same level of devotional service as she did. And in that way his internal purpose was also fulfilled. For us, what is most important is that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the teacher by example. And therefore this day is indeed the most important, because we must study the life of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We must follow the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We have no other chance. If we have to do it with the Bhagavad Gita, then we get stuck. Because it's too much. Surrender everything. Everything? Can we negotiate that? What's your definition of everything? I mean, within reason, of course. Right? I mean, you know, can we edit that a little bit? Sarvadharmam paricaya. Can we edit that? Can we make that? Surrender everything within reason. I mean, you know, it's got to stay reasonable, isn't it? You know? Surrender everything within reason. Well, okay. So, I'm gonna within reason. So, you know, and then of course I find many reasons why things are not reasonable, and in that way, in the end, right, it's quite okay. I go preferably on Sundays to the temple, and I try and bring a piece of fruit or a bottle of milk for the deities. No, I really try. I mean, although we can't always afford it, really. Yeah, and every Sunday I can't make either, but okay, at least Janmashtami. I'm very serious about that. I'll never miss Janmashtami,
No way. Never miss Chamasi. I would never miss Chamasi. Jai Sri Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu takes it to another level. Now, this would have all been a wonderful story for us. A very wonderful story, something like a fairy tale, you know, called Chaitanya Charitamrita, something from Bengal. Nice, some Bengali story, the Chaitanya Charitamrita. That's how we would have taken it. But then, Srila Prabhupada came. He came in this modern age to the Western world as the representative of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he lived it. He lived this Chaitanya Charitamrita. He came across the ocean by boat, because at that time, flying was still a rare thing. He came by boat on the Jaladuta across the Atlantic, and during the passage, he said, "My only solace is Chaitanya Charitamrita. My only solace." Because that was his mission. His mission was Chaitanya Charitamrita. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada is the embodiment of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. He's the embodiment of this Chaitanya Charitamrita. When we go to Bengal, both West Bengal and East Bengal, now known as Bangladesh, the one thing we notice is that the Vaishnavas are such devotees of Gauranga. Even when she was singing, you know, like our Bangladeshi ambassador here, she was singing like Bhajapur, like, it was like, took us right there, you know. See Lord Nityananda going door to door, Bhajapur. Yes. So, the spirit was brought to us by Srila Prabhupada, not only by telling us the amazing pastimes, but by living them himself, by showing himself as a perfect follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the total intensity of dedication, complete, everything for Krishna, not just, you know, reasonable love. I mean, just even beyond reasonable, even like impossible. And then he would say, impossible is the word in the Fool's Dictionary. My God. I mean, even impossible doesn't stand any longer in front of these Vaishnavas. I mean, that's big, you know. It's like, well, some things are impossible, not for Prabhupada. Right? Somehow, and he showed it by his actions. And in that way, he brought this teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here and made it alive for us. And that is this movement. And that is why today, in the middle of Stockholm, here, where sweet water meets salt water, there, in Stockholm, that somehow or other, the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is celebrated, although nobody knows. Nobody knows. But it's the biggest party of the year. They don't know, but it's going on right here at Govinda's. But we know because of Srila Prabhupada, and that's the amazing thing. And, you know, so anyone who came is fortunate. And one day, we know, the whole world will know about Gauranga. And one day, this Krishna consciousness will touch the various cultures of the world, because just now the world is going through a change. The old culture, the old materialistic culture, is bankrupt. In the West, we know it. It's on its last legs. In Asia, they're still trying. China's trying hard. India is not far behind. But soon, in India also, all the rivers will become toxic. Just like I'm from the Netherlands, and the Netherlands is the lowest country in Europe in all respects. And And one thing, I want to stretch these legs. Oh.
So one thing is that the rivers, they naturally go to the sea in the lowest country. And therefore the Netherlands gets the worst water in the rivers from all of Europe. Because they get all the garbage from all of Europe. Everyone, whatever they dump in the river, it comes to the Netherlands. Right? So the river Rhine, right, comes to the Netherlands and then goes to the ocean. So if you fall into the river Rhine by accident, they come and pick you up with an ambulance and put you in a hospital for observation. That's how toxic the Rhine is. I mean, you wouldn't dare to stick your finger in the Rhine. Right? That's the Rhine. So that's just not coming in India. Just not coming in China. Just not coming. China is now so proud of all the development and all the factories. But the pollution in China is very, very serious already. And they're building many nuclear power plants, the same one as the Japanese model. Exactly the same one, the big one that went wrong in Japan. Same model. They've just built 47 of them. Yeah, somewhere around. So it's like, and India is also building about 23. So, catching up. And it's like, you know, let us see. Another Chernobyl, another. So many things to come. So, this culture is bankrupt. The earth cannot carry the burden of now India taking up the Kali Yuga culture, now China taking up the Kali Yuga culture. That will be the straw that cracks the camel's back. Yeah. That will be too much. So therefore we can see here today that this modern culture is on a path of bankruptcy. It will not last. But fortunately, the new culture that is taken over is already here. And this new culture is spreading everywhere. The culture that is unalloyed, devotional service to Krishna. The pure culture that is taught by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his pure followers. That culture is here today, and that is what we're celebrating today. So that's very nice that all that has come to Stockholm. So it is a great celebration. Stockholm doesn't know, but that doesn't matter. It is the biggest party of the year. Thank you very much.
That the Vedas was manifested from mouth of Brahma, did they manifest first like Chaturshloki from Srimad Bhagavatam and then they expanded?
You went very fast, you went to the Chaturshloki. No, in the very beginning, when at the beginning of the creation, everything manifests from the body of Brahma, the various aspects of in the creationary process. So he has four heads, and from the mouth of Brahma manifest the Vedas. And in that way they come into the universe. And it's the four Vedas. So then later Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaturshloki and all that. But that's others, something else. It comes later. I just mentioned Vedas coming from the mouth of Brahma. The Rig Veda, the Yaya Veda, the Sam Veda, Atharva Veda, Chatur Veda.
It's the the Chaitanya Bhagavata, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mangala main scriptures or the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or there is more?
Chaitanya Charita Mahakavya, that is the book from Kavikarnapur, Chaitanya Chandadhanata, this drama of Kavikarnapur. So is Murari Gupta's Kadacha diary. There are remnants of Sarup Damodar, Swami Goswami's diary. Some slokas are preserved from that. So those are also
there.
Okay. Maharaj,
one question.
Ah,
ji. Ye Chaitanya Mahaprabhu itne famous kyun hai?
He's saying, why is it that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu etna famous did not become that famous? Why? Because the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya is now in its beginning stages. In Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very famous in Bengal, both in East and West Bengal. I mean, there, the whole culture has been touched by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even the Muslim culture in Bengal is fully aware of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And if you look at, like, Banglapedia.com, which is like a famous website of the Bangladeshi government trying to advertise the government, the glory of Bangladesh, then you find a whole description about Mahaprabhu and how Kirtan, how he founded Kirtan, and then they describe Kirtan as like the natural cultural music of Bangladesh. Right? It's not just, it's like the folk music of Bangladesh is Kirtan. So here in Sweden, I don't know what kind of folk music you have.
But,
huh?
Lots.
Yeah.
Different kinds.
You know.
Fiddle.
Singing, joiking, like Samaveda, almost.
Okay. So these kind of things you have in Sweden. Right? And, you know, in America, you have the hillbillies and, like, you know, doing the bong dancing, you know. So every country has its varieties of folk music. But in Bangladesh, it's kirtan. And there's so many styles of kirtan, and they record all that. And, you know, like, I was looking at the history of kirtan, and it was all there. The government, the Muslim government of Bangladesh, provides you a full history of kirtan, right there, right on the web. And that was quite good, you know. It's quite detailed, different styles, different schools, and they're very proud of it. Whereas it's funny because it's not Muslim at all. But it's so much the culture that even although the Muslim culture came and sort of covered that culture a bit, still it's so predominant in Bengal. So in Bengal, very famous. Now, excuse me, India mein bhai, aya to Mahaprabhu ka pura jeevan sab log to janta hai aajkal. Nowadays in India, very famous because of ISKCON. Because now ISKCON is big. ISKCON is getting bigger and bigger. In every town has a big temple and so on. And with it, the fame of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is spread. So this is the job of ISKCON, to spread the fame of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is what Prabhupada started. He came to do that mission. So it's happening now. And why? Because why people don't know? Because they are sinful. Because they don't want to learn. Because they are from Kali Yuga. Because they're attached to meat eating, to prostitution, and to gambling and intoxication. That's what it is. But if they come back from these things, then they will know. So this is Iskand's job. And especially Bharati Bhumi Tevayamanisha, especially those who took their birth in India, it says they have to take up this mission. So that is in scripture. So anyone from Bharati.
see you.
You also mentioned in the previous class about the Che Guevara.
About Che Guevara?
Che Guevara. Che Guevara.
Che Guevara. Che Guevara.
Can you a little bit elaborate on this? Because like you mentioned also in this class about...
Okay. Yeah, I can do it. Sure. Chaya Bhava is shadow reflection of Bhava. And we experience that also in the material sense, that when you are with someone who's enthusiastic, then you also feel you're becoming a little more enthusiastic. And someone's so enthusiastic, you're like, shall we go outside? Nah. But the sun is shining. And stay home. Yeah. But if you have someone who's like very excited, no, let's go, come on, you know, the car is here, we just jump in and we go. And that's a long drive. Anyway, let's go, you know. And then the kind of, there's always one smurf, right, who doesn't smurf, you know. But even that smurf, right, once he gets out to the park and so on, and say, well, actually, it's kind of nice here, right? So in this way, we see that enthusiasm is contagious. That we experience it as well. So then spiritual enthusiasm is also contagious. The ecstasy of great pure devotees, when we are with them, we are suddenly also feeling much more inspiration. And this is called Chaya Bhava. That in the association of pure devotees, we also become more enthusiastic. And suddenly, Krishna, yes, and we're very convinced, yes, this is the truth. But then, on Monday, when we're all alone, then it looks different. And that means it's only shadow reflection. When it becomes real, then it is even there on Monday.
Maharaj, I noticed when I was in Morocco on holidays a year ago, and when I said the name of the Lord, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I noticed that 3 billion of the Muslims, there are about 3 billion of Muslims, and they all know about Chaitanya, but they think it's the devil.
Yes,
so he's very famous. I mean, they are worshipping his name.
Yeah, Shaitan.
Shaitan.
Okay. I don't know exactly. They sometimes get it wrong. I'm not sure if when they say Shaitan that they actually were referring to Chaitanya, but maybe there is some namabhas in there, some accidental benefit.
So I was thinking he's famous almost, you know. Uh-huh. There are so many Muslims in the world, they're all saying Chaitanya
Mahaprabhu. Namabhas, the point is that the indirect chanting of the name of Krishna is happening, just like Gaur Bachchav, right, was chanting the name of Gauranga. And it was Gaur Bachchav who let all the devotees out of the jails and the mental hospitals and this and that. It was him. What can you expect with such a name? Gaur Bachchav. It had to be him. It couldn't be anyone else. It couldn't be Brezhnev or... It had to be Gaur Bachchav. So, there are... In New Zealand, there are villages, there are towns that are called Rama Rama. And here we have this margarine, which is itself inedible, but it has a nice name called Rama. Right? So, like that, you know. I wouldn't recommend to eat it, but it's nice that it has the name Rama. Rama comes in so many things. So, like that, Namabhas is there, and that has an effect on the world. So it is said. So, there is a hidden way that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is entering into the world and is purifying the world without people knowing it. They're chanting his name. That's what you're talking about. So that's true, and that works.
devil in disguise also.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it worked for me. I was like very happy to hear that they are, you know, calling on Chaitanya. I didn't know it already.
Okay, there's Sophia. She's hiding.
Before Lord Chaitanya appeared, his brother Vishwaru appeared, and before that, there were eight daughters of Srimati Shantidevi. And is there any story about them?
No. No, Tapas also asked this week the same question, and so far I've looked everywhere, but never found anything. Because we know that there is a parallel in the pastimes of Krishna and the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that before Krishna and Balaram appeared, that there were six sons that were also killed then by Kamsa, right? And of course, the daughter was killed, so in that way, Krishna was the eighth child. The daughter didn't die because she was Durga. But, and then we learned that these six sons were the six sons of Kalanemi, and that, you know, actually Kalanemi had come back as Kamsa, so Kamsa was actually killing his own sons. And there we have a whole explanation of who those sons were, but never found anything explaining who the eight daughters were or why they had to go through that. So, still looking for it.
But
there's a whole story there. With Devaki, there's a whole story. But in this regards, although I've looked everywhere, I haven't found any information about it. No, not in any scripture so far. All right, yes, the last one.
Yeah. Minor question. It was about this flavor thing, and that if you poured water on from a Muslim.
Yes.
What was, I never heard.
That was a cultural thing at the time, because India was for a long time very much in the grip of Brahmanism, of strong Brahmanas who were imposing very rigid cultural restrictions on people. And we saw, you know, Bhaktanidhi did a great, you know, the expression on his face as soon as he came in was very good. You know, it really had that kind of spirit of what we call niyamagraha, very attached to the rules and regulations of the scripture without understanding the real spirit of it. And that was the story then, like, you know, so if you were in any way contaminated by a Muslim, you were fallen. So in this way, Subhuti Roy, with that water, was now contaminated, and there was no way it could be purified. He had to give up his life and drink hot tea. But the other Brahmana was more liberal, and the other Brahmana was saying that it was not so important. So the other Brahmana had a deeper spiritual realization. The first Brahman from the hot ghee had a very external interpretation of the scripture. So that's what happened in India. The Brahmanism, or the smarter Brahmanas, they took the rules and regulations of everything, and they missed the deeper spirit of the scripture, which aims to develop love of God. And in a way, they terrorized Indian society. And then there were Sudras, you know, the lowest caste. And Sudras, it says in the Manu Samhita, when a Brahmana wants to study the Vedic scriptures, if he sees a Sudra, first of all, he has to fast. He has to fast before reading the scripture. Then finally, when he's purified himself, he's ready to read the scripture. If he sees a Sudra, he has to fast again. The whole thing. So, you know, therefore there was an arrangement that Sudras would have to carry a bell. And if they had to go in Brahminical quarters, they'd ring the bell so that all the Brahmanas could quickly go inside, lock the doors, and let the Sudra take out the garbage. But, you know, they would like, so that his shadow might not touch them. So that's all smarter Brahmanism. And that has destroyed, actually, the Vedic culture in India, because people became tired of this whole caste consciousness. And therefore now, we see that that is killing the whole Varnashram culture. And that is why in 1959, which was 12 years after the British left, India gave up the Manu Samhita as the law book of India. All throughout British rule, the Manu Samhita remained the law book for the Indian population. But in 1959, 12 years after the British left, they gave it up. Because they were just tired of this caste system.
But what was this with Muslims? Is it very...
Muslims are meat eaters.
Uh-huh.
They are meat eaters. And meat eaters are not very much in high regard with the Brahmins. So if from some meat eater's water pot that's highly contaminated, he puts his, you know, his filthy meat mouth on that water, it's like, you know, and then he throws that water on you, and at that point you're utterly contaminated, utterly. And they'll never take you back. Only when you drink hot ghee. You can speak with Bhakti Nidhi about thank you very much. People are getting tired and hungry. Supapati Gopari Mahamahatsava Ki Itai.
Holiness Kadamba Kalana Swami Maharaj Ki.